Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we talk about Windows 11 and this TPM 2.0 requirement. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Sean Wakely. In this solo extra for the month of October, I have no Darren, but I do have Sean Wakely, the director of Hackfort. You probably heard him on the main show this month, so...
Great to be here, my man.
Glad to have you. When I set up to do the podcast, one of the first things I do is pull the podcast machine out and check for updates, because Windows 10 does this thing where it just downloads an update and says, no, we're going to reboot. And we can't have that while we're in the middle of recording, because everything just is messed up and wrong at that point. Well, today I go and do my update, and it's telling me this PC doesn't currently meet all the system requirements of Windows 11. This screen was up when you showed up, and you're like, hey, Windows 11, we should talk about that.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be kind of fun. So what sort of questions do you have?
What
because, Windows 11, the next operating system from Microsoft, which you can download ISOs now to install it.
Yeah, I think you can. Well, the big thing, and this was something I was excited to ask you about, was, after doing a lot of reading, and reading some reviews, watching some videos, one thing that Windows and Microsoft have decided to do, and it's got a lot of people in the tech community a little upset, is their requirements for Windows 11 have changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
And they are kicking out a buttload of older hardware. Mm-hmm. I mean, even myself at home, I'm like, oh man, my second PC might not support. I'm pretty sure it won't support. I don't think I have the right thing, I know it's called TPM, but maybe you can go into that and really talk about what Windows is doing here. I'm sure you have some theories on the main reasons why.
Right.
The only thing I read was security. This is for security.
It's always for security. Well, and a TPM module, or Trusted Platform Module, is basically a hardware encryption key. And they've been around for years. I've reviewed some motherboards that had the little TPM module on it, on a motherboard that really had no reason to have it on there. But, and these were Gigabyte boards for the most part. Gigabyte makes a board and then sells it. They make one and then they decide, well, this is who we're going to sell this to. And, oh, hey, you might want this one. So when the requirements are drafted, they say, well, we need to have this because of this industry we're targeting. And those industries are manufacturing, offices, and basically the people that just need a computer to use, but it has to be managed by a larger organization. So that TPM module allows you to encrypt all the data on there and then trust that this computer is what it is, what it's supposed to be. Well, Microsoft is adding this, I believe, so that one, they can use a more accurate version of BitLocker to encrypt the hard drives. Also encrypt the data coming in, going out. Because it's hardware-based at that point, it's not susceptible to CPU cycles. You can't actually inject something to go and change it. So that way it's permanent.
That's its own, dedicated kind of hardware.
Another thing that I think that they're using it for is so that they can now fingerprint computers. We think fingerprint as like the MAC address of your NIC or something like that, or the name of the computer. Well, when Windows activates, it activates off of a fingerprint of what it thinks this computer is. And that's based off of like the motherboard, the CPU, the memory, the video card, and all those things together create a key. And then when you activate it, that key goes to Microsoft and they store it. So if you were to install Windows, it will allow you to reactivate it. Now, me being a system builder, I modify my stuff all the time.
What about us?
Swapping a video card usually doesn't require reactivation.
They should be good about that.
Yeah.
At least they should.
Now, swapping a motherboard, that's a different story. That usually requires that you reinstall your operating system to get the new drivers, make sure everything is configured correctly. That usually also requires that you reactivate Windows, because that fingerprint changed.
It's a different board. Yeah, to me, I've always thought of the motherboard as kind of like, it's the, in the way, it's not, the heart, mm-hmm. even though the CPU, a lot of people might think, but for me, it's like the motherboard is the thing that all the parts go into. Well, so.
it's called a motherboard for a reason.
Yeah.
And I can totally understand where you change the motherboard, you'd have to reactivate Windows. Even if you had that same hard drive and you've readapted it and everything, it will sometimes say, hey, we need to reactivate and just refresh your key. If you have the OEM edition of Windows 10, then you only get to activate it once.
Yep.
And then at that point, you're just like, buy a new key. If you have the retail version, which costs an extra $50 or $75 or whatever it was, you can activate it three times or something like that. Or I've been told you can activate it three times. But really, you know, you reinstall, you put a new system together, you know, buy a new key. That's my advice.
That's what I usually do too. It's like when you're getting a new board, usually it's like, okay, new OEM key, which I usually get OEM. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those things too, though, like, make sure you activate that right and on the hardware you want it to be activated on, because you don't know. Right?
Well, and the nice thing, at least for me testing hardware, is that you don't have to activate Windows anymore to use it. You can use it free for 30 days, basically.
Yeah, so you can install a fresh copy or,
Yeah, so I go and install a fresh copy every time I get a new motherboard in, and then I end up fighting for the next 4 days while it downloads updates when I'm trying to actually run a benchmark on a certain version, and it's a big mess. Well, by taking the TPM module, you could swap that from one motherboard to the other motherboard, and now Windows says, oh, I'm already activated on this TPM, and it should reactivate and see the new hardware and allow you to use and replace certain components in your computer without having to reactivate Windows.
Well, in most cases, though, is that TPM module going to be built into the physical hardware itself?
For laptops and tablets and mobile devices, then yes, it's going to be a physical chip on the board itself. So you can't swap them. But on most retail motherboards that you can buy, the TPM module is just a thing you plug into the bottom of the board.
Interesting. Yeah, because I think I checked my Z90 board from Gigabyte, and I think they said it would support Windows 11, but I don't know if there's something plugged in or if it's just in the board.
Yeah, and the other thing with the compatibility of Windows 11 that I've read, I haven't looked into it too much yet, it only supports Rocket Lake. That's the latest CPU from Intel, and it might support a couple of them from AMD as well, but you can't install it on old hardware, which is completely goes against what Microsoft has done ever since the very beginning.
It's a pretty big shift, you know, like, but maybe they're, you know, again, maybe it really is. They're just trying to make an operating system that they can control the experience more on. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're trying to make it more like Apple. Like, they want it to be a more reliable experience.
Yeah. It's, you know, the user experience has always been lackluster on Windows ever since the very beginning.
Yeah, unless you're in, like, you know, like us, where you and I are willing to put in the time to figure it out, you know, something breaks for me all the time, but I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to Google it and try to figure this out, you know.
And well, and it's because the system was relatively open. They allowed vendors to write drivers for hardware. They allowed software companies to write software that would run and install on Windows without any verification from Microsoft saying, oh, well, this is a safe application. So by using the TPM module, they can also enforce that certain applications rules will run in certain ways. So that way it makes it a little bit safer. I'm not sure if they will keep the open architecture of Windows. I wasn't assuming that they would. But with Windows 8, they started introducing a locked version that required you to go to the Microsoft Store to download software. So you go to the App Store, just like on your mobile device.
It has to be like a, you know, verified software.
Yeah.
You know,
So that version of Windows 8 was the cheap edition, the OEM that would just come when you buy a computer from Best Buy or something like that. You could pay a little extra, upgrade your key, and then it unlocks Windows 8 so that you could install regular software, not be tied to the App Store. By requiring a TPM module, Microsoft is really just trying to get more control over the open hardware and the open nature by still allowing people the avenue to go and build their own PC, but then having a little bit more control over the types of software that is run and the type of version of Windows that is also installed. So if we have an OEM style edition that is tied to the App Store, they have a lot more control over that with that TPM module because it's encrypted and people can't really write a crack, if you will, to go and unlock it.
Hmm.
And speaking of cracks and whatnot, Windows 10, you know, we just talked about how you would want to activate it again, buy a new key. Well, there are ways that you can buy Windows 10 for $10. And it just has a key that, you know, might have come from a nefarious location or whatever. But more often than not, it will activate. It works just fine. Well, with a TPM module, now Microsoft has a lot more control over what key is used and how it's used.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, like, you know, I was just thinking, like, you know, like a company like Apple, mm-hmm. has Apple at a hardware level been doing this for a long time? You know, like when it comes to validating their operating system and...
Yes, they have. The very first editions of the Apple OS, they would actually be able to detect if you were using an Apple hard drive.
Or not.
Wow. Or not.
Wow.
So you wouldn't be able to plug in a third-party hard drive. They were requiring that you buy one from Apple. And it's gone that way for years till they started switching to using Intel processors. And at that point, that opened it up to where you could install Windows. Some would actually run it as an emulator. Some would actually wipe the Apple OS completely and put Windows on it because it became an Intel laptop at that point. And Apple lost a lot of control because of it.
I think it was the smartest move they ever made personally. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, even coming from someone who's an Apple fanboy, when they did that, I was like, oh my God, I can buy a MacBook Pro, but I can still run Windows on it and I can play games and I can do all the things that I still want Windows for.
Right.
And, you know, and now we see Apple doing a complete 180 on that, mm-hmm. you know, going to ARM, doing their new M1 stuff. I mean, their new computers, it's just a one piece board. You can't upgrade or change anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they've taken it more to the, we're using, you know, the iPad as being our
computer. Yeah,
our computer.
That's where they're bringing it for sure.
And in a way, nobody needs a full desktop, really. You know, and that was something, speaking of Hackfort, for instance, one of the talks that we were thinking about having in March was how to build a computer, like a computer building workshop.
Yep.
And my thought was to start the discussion with 90% of you in this room will never have to build a computer ever. And then qualify that with, do you actually need to build a computer like this?
Mm-hmm.
And do you really need it? You know, do you actually need to do that? Or can you go buy a laptop from Best Buy and can be completely happy? Or can you do everything you need on your mobile devices in your pocket?
It's, yeah, you're right. I mean, the gap is growing. So, you know, it's just getting to that point where it speeds and feeds and it's... I get people, I still have friends ask me all the time, they're like, Sean, will you help me build a computer? Lately, I've been like, I'll help you pick out a computer that you can buy and be way happier with. Because if I help you build it and something goes wrong, I have to tech it. And I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I don't have time for it, unfortunately.
Yep. Well, know? And that was my response a long, long time ago. It's like, you know, I will build a computer for myself. I don't build them for other people. I can tell you what to buy, but...
I love doing that.
And I can tell you how to install the memory modules and let you, you know, pick my brain if you have problems, but I'm not going to fix it when it's broken.
Yeah. I mean, I still geek out on when a friend's like, I want to build, you know, if they're really committed to building their own machine, that's mm-hmm. great. I love geeking out on helping them research the hardware, right? I can go on Newegg or, you know, or PC Part Picker. I can just like...
click, click, click.
But I love that stuff. Like you do. You know, like I geek out on the finer details that most people don't geek out, right? Like, you know, I don't know.
I kind of, I have that same experience. Although some of it is just the fact that I've done this for so long that, this is a Pentium 4. You need to have this.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but I'm also in it, you know, at the hardware level.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting one. You know, I really do think, you know, we're seeing the industry shift and change. Mm-hmm. And TPM, I remembered that. You know, when I read it, it caught my eye because I've always remembered in my motherboard settings, there's like trusted platform. You know, and I was like, what is this for? And I would like read the manual and I'd be like, okay, I don't really care about it. I'm not going to turn this on, you know, but.
Well, and in those older computers where the TPM module was just put in, a lot of times they would have a BitLocker sort of encryption or another kind of encryption that would use that TPM.
Another hardware, you know, another piece of hardware, set of hardware, right? That would use that.
And those would be in like industry computers that had trade secrets on them and stuff like that. So basically once you open that machine up and pull out that module, that computer's dead, that you can't recover anything off of it.
Wow.
So at that point, it becomes a secure storage vault. You pull the module back in, you can boot it up, log into your network, and boom, you're ready to go. So that way, the companies have data security at the hardware level. They have to physically go in there and actually remove the chip. But that was the purpose behind that. Now, with Microsoft requiring it, it's really changing their fundamental outlook on what made Microsoft big, you know, because we have an operating system that will run on the largest group of computers in the world, you know, IBM PC compatibles. And that is, you know, that's really what built Microsoft to the monster that it is. And that monster has now decided, well, we're going to tighten the reins a little bit because we've run into issues. And some of it is malware, some of it is just rampant viruses, and the fact that people are using their computers differently. So now we have a precedence for tightening the reins. But that doesn't mean that you can't install Windows 11 on older hardware, because there's several articles out there about saying that, yes, you can install it, but you have to run through a bunch of hoops and disable some stuff. And, you know, once it finally goes gold and I buy a copy of it, I might have to figure out how to make that work. But I'm starting to think that this might be the version of Windows to skip, because history has told us that Microsoft releases one version of an operating system and then upgrades it, and that's usually a dud. And then they fix it, and that's usually good. And the next one is kind of a dud. So it kind of cycles back and forth.
Wasn't Windows 8? Windows 8 was bad.
Windows 8 was bad. Windows 7 was good.
Yeah, Windows 7 was the one we used for a while.
Windows Vista was bad.
Yeah.
Windows XP was good.
XP was, I mean, again, yeah, now I think about it, 95 XP,
well, it
Windows
was,
7.
It was actually...
Those are like the ones I remember just having for a while.
Yeah. Well, in 95 was the...
It was just kind of good. A launch, yeah.
It was good, but it had a lot of nuances that made it bad. Like the version that I liked a lot was OSR2, which was the one you could get from Dell and Compaq and whatnot, and it supported some of the new features. Windows 98 SE, the second edition, was the latest and greatest version of 95, and then Windows ME came out.
That was like famously bad.
Yeah, it was famously bad. And honestly, I don't know exactly why, because I never ran into any of the issues that people were complaining about when I used it, but I never used it for that long either.
Yeah, I remember my neighbor getting like a Compaq that had ME on it, and it just like out of the box, like blue screened. And it was just like, wow, this is sweet. Let's reinstall it. And then it like blue screened again. And we were like, okay, is it the hardware? Is it the operating system?
Yeah, the hard part, the painful part was that it took forever for you to get to that blue screen part. It's like, I think it's going to work. Boom, no. But then XP, you know, that was the longest running version of Windows ever for the most part.
Yeah, years.
And I guess the one thing that broke the cycle was Windows 2000 was good.
Yeah, and that was 2000 more meant to be more of a server architect?
It was supposed to be Microsoft's switch from a DOS-based operating system to a more NT-based. You're right.
And that, and like Windows 7 and Windows 2000, though, how were they pretty close to each other?
At the kernel level, yes. But everything else on top of it,
yeah.
The closest was...
Well, I was talking about even release time, right? Like, weren't they like...
Well, Windows 2000 came out, and it was like a year and a half later, XP was released.
Okay.
Or maybe it was 3 years. It was somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
I didn't run 2000 for very long, and then XP was out forever.
My friend's dad had it on his machine in his... And I was always like, what is this operating system?
And then Vista, which I never used very much. It just looked bad.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bad operating system. It just had some nuances that made it slow.
Yeah.
And some of the new features didn't work very well. But then Windows 7 fixed everything. And that was an awesome operating system. One for using, and two for, it was great overclocking operating system. You could get rid of a whole lot of services and still allow it to run.
You told me that. Yeah, that's like still popular, right? Because it's you can run it so bare bone.
Well, and the only one that beats it is Windows XP, But that is because it's been out forever and the Chinese got a hold of it and they figured out how to just change everything. So you can take it down to almost like a bare shell and it runs really, really fast. It's good for 2D benchmarking, which is good. So yeah, and then Windows 8, where they changed to the we're going to make this a tablet interface and not really a desktop. That was kind of famously good and also bad. Penny Arcade made a joke about how Microsoft added the start button back, but it wasn't a start button. It was just an icon that you clicked on and it would actually trigger what looked like a start menu.
Yeah.
And I think their comment was, this is how graphic designers say F you.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, and with Windows 11, right? Or it's a whole... To me, it looks like just a very heavily reskinned Windows 10, you know, and the videos I've watched and everything. But, you know, Windows 10, personally, Windows 10 has been my favorite ever. Like, I think all the things that have annoyed me about Windows, they've, for the most part, have fixed. Yeah. And, of course, I'm reading in Windows 11, they've fixed some things that drive me insane. But I'm not going to install that operating system. I'm going to just hold tight. I have a stable... well-running operating system right now, you know?
Well, and that's the way people were with Windows 7. They didn't want to upgrade to 10 because it had...
It was good.
Well, it changed so many things fundamentally that it was different enough that it became scary.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the way that it is with Windows 11, but with the fact that they're requiring certain hardware to install it, that's going to make hardware manufacturers really, really super happy because now all of a sudden we get to throw away our PC. Oh, no, we can't really upgrade. We got to throw it away completely and build a whole new box.
Yeah, it's frustrating. If you're like into it, it's frustrating though. Cause like I have older hardware that I love that runs great. Yeah. And it's like at some point now it's not going to be supported anymore.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, not that I still can't run it, but it just might not have security. I don't have vulnerabilities, but maybe I should just put Linux on it or whatever. You know, I mean.
And the thing, speaking of Linux, it's also a closed ecosystem. Because you have, like, Debian, for instance. Well, you can't run a Slackware package on Debian easily. You have to normally recompile it. So it's kind of, you're tied to that distribution.
Yeah, the distros of Linux. Yeah, you are. You're right.
But it is open enough to the point where if you know what you're doing, you can change anything in there. Like, one of my favorite distributions is Slackware. And that's one where you have to be the OS hacker to be able to run it. You know, I'm compiling drivers from the command line sort of thing just so cool. I can get him to run.
My brother's one of those psychos who built a Hackintosh. And I always just go, man. You know, of course, now that Apple's going away from Intel.
Yeah.
But again, I think this is an interesting topic. I'm happy you and I talked about it because our phones are becoming our computers. And I think that's a really valid point. It's the hobbyists and the hardcore guys that are just like, we don't want to let go.
No.
You know, and not to say that there's not always going to be something for us to tinker with.
Yeah.
It's just going to change, you know.
Yeah, we're the vocal minority. The hardware enthusiasts were always the vocal minority. And we would be able to sway manufacturers to go and change how they made a motherboard, for instance, because we complained enough.
It's crazy. I mean, you've been with all of it, but watching at least, especially for me, I think the last 8 years of PC, you know, it's become a meme, you know, PC Master Race, all these things. But the benefit to the people that have been building computers for a while is like my last computer build by far, Dennis, was like the most fun to build. And the quality of the components in it, everything I picked out, there's just so much, you know, I've never experienced that where like my case, they thought of everything and it was easy to cable manage, easy to install and it looks nice. And, you know, I just think it is like this golden age, but we're like at the end of this golden age because I don't know, maybe Microsoft will get smart and go, man, okay, we're requiring TPM, but maybe we should still really lean into this modular hardware thing, but you know, who knows?
Well,
you know,
and the final little bit that, you know, I remember from, you know, Windows 8, not so much with Windows 10, but they tried to do it with Windows 8, where it's like, we are forcing you to do this. And a year after it got released, they changed it around to make it more like the desktop so that you could use it in a desktop environment, even though they never intended it to be that way. And I have a feeling that Windows 11 right now, they are touting all of the new features, all of the new requirements. But shortly after it gets released and it starts to gain traction, they're going to loosen it up to the point where the people like me can go and actually install it and use it the way that we want to use it, not necessarily be tied to what Microsoft wants.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think they'll really make a bunch of people mad if you can't upgrade your graphics card or, you know, even your CPU. I just think there's like a couple things where it's like, hey, man, I have this generation of hardware. Mm-hmm. I started with the cheaper one because that's all I could get or all I could afford, which is probably both right now in the world we live in. But, you know, and maybe you want to upgrade to the i9 as opposed to the, you know, and they shouldn't be like, no, you need to buy Windows again. It's like, come on, guys. Yeah. Like, I invested heavily in you once.
Well, and until the motherboard manufacturers, and they've threatened to do this, to take CPUs and solder them directly to the motherboard.
I will murder those guys.
Yeah. Well, and they don't do that primarily from cost.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to build one motherboard. You can put whatever processor you want on there.
It's probably more expensive for, I mean, obviously the motherboard would be more expensive.
It will, because it will include the CPU.
Yeah.
But it will be more expensive for the manufacturers because now we have to create a different SKU for every processor we drop on there.
Yeah.
And if we don't sell all of this one version of it, then we're out a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
So they've always reserved those for like the Dells and stuff where they know, hey, we're going to build 2,000 of them. Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
And they might lock the CPU on those particular OEM machines and then lock it into a certain version of Windows. And that's fine because that's people know what they're buying at that point.
Well, yeah. And again, we're the outliers here, right? Yep. The majority of people, they just want a computer that works and is reliable and, you know, and that's fine. And having an embedded hardware makes sense, right? So,
Well, this is a great discussion and I'm hoping that Windows goes the right way.
I guess my final thought on it too is I am excited about Windows 11. From what I've seen, you know, and I'm always open to a new operating system, right?
Yeah.
And I probably won't install it on my personal machine right away, but I'll wait and I'll play with it when I can, you know, and that's kind of just part of the game, right?
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS, follow us on Twitter, or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2021. Thanks for listening.